radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 16. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Here she is. Her name means feeble. She's in the valley of Sorek. The lords of the Philistine, verse 5, come to her and say, find out wherein is the greatness of his power. Where does it lie? And we'll pay you well for doing so. Now, they believed in talismans and relics. They believed in that. That was their pagan belief system. So they're thinking he's got something going on. Everybody knows what he was doing was supernatural. But they did not realize who God was. But we do know that the Israelites took the Ark of the Covenant in the conquest. They split the Jordan. They went in, and many of the places they went to, they would take it. But that went to the background once they got the land a little bit more subjugated. It stayed in its tabernacle. Well, the Bible says that she began to, well, later he's going to say, vex him. But at first, it's just sort of a little bit lover's play. She's very circumspect. She says in verse 6, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lies. She may not have ever asked anything else of him. Oh, honey, just tell me what your strength is. Tell me. Now, this guy, he's a bruiser, man. This is, you know, Beauty and the Beast thing, you know? I mean, she's Belle of the Bull, and he's the grunt, and he's got all this strength, and, you know, he's... And what I'm saying is that she begins to go to work on him, using all of her feminine wiles, and begins to come at him week after week. This is not new. This is what happened when he was getting ready to marry the Philistine girl. Remember, if you had not plowed with my heifer, who can forget that notable quote? You would never have figured out the riddle. And what I'm saying is this is nothing new. She wore him down over the course of 7 days, and he told her the riddle, and she told the Philistines, and he lost face, and he also lost the woman he was going to marry. So he should have been really attuned to this. What did I say a moment ago? Know thyself. Okay, be very, very much aware of who you are and where your weaknesses are. He can't see himself. He can't see. And the Bible says, she says, tell me, where's your strength lie? Verse 7, he says unto her, 7 green withs. That's kind of like bowstrings for the bow and arrow. And the Bible says in verse 9 that there were certain men lying in wait. And she gets the withs, she ties him up. And she says, the Philistines be upon thee. And he wakes up in verse 9, and those withs, those bowstrings, they are like touched by fire. This happens a number of times. I'm not going to catalog every nuance. Read it. It's good reading. It's good drama. High drama, really. She comes back and she says, you mock me, in verse 10. And in verse 11, it says, no, new ropes. New ropes that have never been used in any kind of occupational way. And there again, we're liars in wait in verse 12. And she says again, the Philistines be upon thee. Verse 13, she says, you mock me. You mock me. You mock me. You mock me. He's not getting the clue. Now, a lot of times people read that and they say, well, if there were liars in wait, didn't he notice that there were people in the room? Probably a pretty big room. This is one of the reasons we don't think she was just some street urchin kind of deal. She probably had a pretty nice place. 90,000 would have come in handy for keeping her lifestyle up. But what we do notice is that every time they're there, but we never hear them coming out. They don't come out of hiding. Nobody gets hurt. So they stay in hiding till the reality of it is perfectly demonstrated. But interestingly enough, as time goes on, they don't have liars in wait because, well, the lords of the Philistines are probably getting tired of all these false alarms. And the Bible says, the next thing, he gets closer to the mark in verse 13. He says, if you weave the 7 locks of my head with a web, that'll take my strength and I'll be as weak as any other man. And in verse 14 again, she says, the Philistines are upon me. He awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin and the beam and the web. Okay, so he's got the whole thing on his head. You want to talk about a new fashion statement. You know, they got new ones coming now. The boys, I notice, are starting to wear buns. You seen that? That's new. I've only seen that in the past month or two. More readily, it's around. And one boy had a little ponytail up, not like the old days. Interesting how the fashions, well, this would have been a fashion for the ages right here, right? The web, the whole sewing machine is on his head. Okay, so but he pulled it off. Let me just say, he could do this. He made it look good. I don't know. Verse 15 says, she said, how can you say you love me? Underline those words. Those are what we call transgenerational words. How can you say you love me? And many times if some boy is, you know, pressing his advances on a girl and says this, if a girl is trying to get a guy to do something he's uncomfortable with and says this, this is a big red flag. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it, because they don't love you. The boy protects the girl. That's love. The girl protects the boy. That's love. Let's all stay in our lane. Amen? That's kind of a good thing to hear in our day. Because the moment that you breach your conscience, you're on a continuum that can make your conscience get worse and worse. And that's where I say he breached his in verse 1, but here he is having a relationship that seems to be quite lengthy. I don't think she did this one night after another. Yes, the text reads quickly one after the other, but the reality is it's probably taken a number of weeks. She would have been showing her hand to do it every day. And so as he comes through this excursion, he's probably being immoral with her constantly, and he's breached his conscience, and this is not a good thing. And it's costing him. Because now he's getting real close to the truth of the matter. It has to do with my hair. And the Bible says that this time she pulls out the big guns because she notices a little twitch perhaps in his eye. Well, my hair. And maybe she thought, this is something. And the Bible says that when she saw this, she pulled out the big guns. How can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? In verse 15. Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy strength lieth. I let it go for a number of times, but here we are now and you've done it again. Listen, even though the liars in wait didn't jump out, she said it every time. The Philistines are upon you. She did exactly what you said. She put your hair in webs, in a loom. She took and put those ropes on you. She put those bowstrings on you. What is the question? Listen, our world is fraught with a mess because we don't get a clue from what is obvious. Immorality will mess us all up. Babies pay the price, women pay the price, men pay the price. And now the world is on its ear. That's an obvious thing. Just like this. What an idiot. What an idiot he is. No, no. What foolish people sometimes we all are. When we don't get a clue. And the Bible says she vexed him unto death in verse 16. The Bible says it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling and a contentious woman. Now you say, well, that's a hard word to say out loud. It's in the Bible a couple, three times in the book of Proverbs. But what it means is, a man who is a gentleman, to some degree, will not lash out in physical form to a woman. He'll pull his hands back. And what we're seeing right here is we're seeing Samson is vexed unto death because he's not married her yet. He loves her. He doesn't have her as his wife yet. So he's willing to go a lot further than the years might allow him to do later. And he's vexed unto death. He doesn't want to lose her. She's asking me. She won't leave it go. And the Bible says, and he told her, if I be shaven, verse 17, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak like any other man. And the Bible says she saw, circle the word saw, the intuitive nature of this woman. She is shrewd. And she saw that he had told her all his heart. And she said unto the Philistines, come up this once. Why? Because they stopped coming. False alarm, false alarm, false alarm. Now, boom, she says, I got him. Come up this once, for he has showed me all of his heart. And verse 19 says she made him sleep, and commentators believe that that means that that night was a really big night in their carnality. Wore him out, put him down with sleep, wore him out, and then had him sleep upon her knees, like lying his head in her lap. She brought in a man to shave his head, and he must have been pretty tired, so he doesn't wake up. And the Bible says, after he had shaved off the locks, the Bible says she began to afflict him. Underline that. She began to afflict him. She wanted first dibs. This guy has cost her more time than she wanted to put into it. And now here she is afflicting him. She's not afraid of him. This is the crazy thing about this day in which we live. I met a young girl some time ago who was working behind a counter, and I knew when she got off work it was going to be dark and there was nobody else working there. I thought, how do you go to your car? And I asked her. She said, well, I know kickboxing. I mean, this girl probably 80 pounds soaking wet. She knows kickboxing, so a big old brute has no chance with her. It's a legend in her own mind. But there is a dynamic where this woman, even if he was a man-sized man and man-sized strength, I mean, he could have whooped up on her, but he won't. He won't hit her. And she afflicts him. Slap, slap, slap. The Philistines are upon him. He nothing. He's got nothing. Empty. No lift. No blessing. Listen, there is a place that you can go that is very costly. Many preachers in our generations, many Christians in our generation, the question has been raised, can a Christian sin in such an odious fashion? And the answer is yes. But can they ever fly as high? It was Spurgeon who answered the question, can a man who has moral default ever rise to the pulpit again and have the credibility? Now, in this generation, people are much more open to so many things, but I would think the man of God would be careful about putting himself back there if nobody else would say, I object. One preacher, if I named him, you'd know who he was, has had some problems in his marriage to the point where he was disqualified, but his congregation said, no, we want you to stay. Now, I want you to know this is the world we live in. It's a compromised world. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and that's what all of us need to be saying. So we see him, he says, I will go out as at other times. And he knew not, verse 20, that the Lord was departed from him. Now, David prayed, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, right? We don't have to pray that because he's already told us he's not leaving. But he does tell us that if we will not behave and we keep going over line after line after line, we're going to find ourselves without a hedge. The Bible tells us that God gives his angels charge over us, lest we dash our foot against the stone. But the Bible says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the angels, did you know? It's not a guardian angel. God gives his angels charge over us. Do you know the devil, if he could get at you and me, he would have a field day? And all we got to do is give him the word by behaving badly and overtly and certainly publicly, as Samson was, in a way that embarrasses the kingdom, embarrasses the Lord. You know, this is what Israel did. They kept pushing the envelope and it became public. Everybody knew these guys were not who they said they were. Yeah, they had that temple. They had that ark. They had that history. But what are they doing under every green tree? They were whoring after other gods, as God has shown us in this book. And so he didn't know that the Lord had left him. In the Old Testament, he would come, he would go. Not for you and me. We are sealed with the Spirit. The Bible says we can grieve him and we can quench him, but he ain't leaving. But he will let the devil at us. The Bible says of one man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, separate that man unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul might be saved. Listen, that's a big deal. You should know your theology. You've got to have the helmet of salvation. Otherwise, you're going to get to the place this man gets if you find yourself on a road that is a downward continuum. Be careful. Be very careful, because as I've said before, we are saved if we know Jesus is our Savior, but we are not safe. We are not safe. The Bible says in verse 21, they took him, they put out his eyes. Oh, my goodness. The great man has been humbled. In fact, he's been humiliated, because it says not only did they take out his eyes, they bound him and they made him grind in the prison. That's the idea of not a ox grinder, you know, where they put an ox and make it grind out the mill. This is just a slave's job. They made him their servant. He was bound and he was in servitude. And everybody knew it. He was a laughing stock. Listen, that's hard. One of the hardest things for men is to be humiliated. Women too, but for men, men would rather be respected than loved. And he had lost all respect. And that was huge. And the Bible says that he was put in there. He was made to grind. And the reason we know it was not a ox grinding situation like a huge mill is because he didn't have his strength anymore. And there was no indication he got it back, because the Bible says in verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.